This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette with Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cove to Texas.
And today we are discussing the proper way to hang art on the wall, and sconces, things you hang on the wall, how they look, visual appeal, and what works and what doesn't, and what drives some of us absolutely crazy. Joni.
Okay, go on. Okay, I'll go first, and disclaimer, this is highly opinionated. Take it with a grain of salt. There's nothing that drives me more crazy than walking in a house and seeing art hung too high. And to me, art should be eye level.
Eye level to whom?
Eye level to where it is. I mean, if it's in a hall, you shouldn't have to crane your neck up or down to see it.
But let's get more specific. Eye level to the person who's my height, 5'2", or the person who's 5'11"?
No, an average height. Okay. You know, an average height. Because if you have a basketball player, yeah, he's going to have to look down, okay? But, you know, let's say take a, you know, just your, I do it my eye, you know, so, and I'm 5'4". So anyway, I hang, also another thing is above the sofa. I try to keep it within 6 inches above the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything else, if you have a grouping above the sofa, even one painting, it starts to fly away if it's not grounded. The mm-hmm. art should relate to the sofa or the furniture or the console as a whole piece. It should become part of a vignette.
Yeah.
It's not separate. It should... Your eyes should perceive it as one, as a whole. And
I think people tend to do it too high. I think in general, when I look at, when I go into people's homes, their artwork's hung way too high. And
yeah.
And you're right, there is no relationship to anything else. You need to step back and see, like you were saying, I mean, the sofa, let's say that's the heavy anchor to the stuff on the wall.
Right.
So you want it to have some connection.
Right. And another thing to do is, say you have one piece of art. I always like to anchor the art itself with a pair of sconces on either side, or plates on either side, or pedestals with something on either side. I usually will never hang something solo, even though I have something in my house right now that's solo. I usually do tend to flesh out the whole vignette.
Yeah, I think that that's the designer's eye. And the designer's eye is not just looking at the pretty sofa, and then now we have the pretty art, and now we have a pretty sconce. That we're looking at it as all these individual pieces, that how they relate to each other, and then how they relate to the room as a whole. Now, I will say, Joni, and you guys are talking about art too low, I think the only caveat I would say about that, because this is something I experienced...
Too high.
Is
too
my,
high. I think people place it too high.
I'm sorry, you're right. You said art hung too high. Is... In my own living room, because I live in a condo, it has vaulted ceilings that are on an angle, and on one side of the room it starts at about 8 feet, and then the other side of the room it ends at 16 feet. And so I have a largish sofa, and then so when I was hanging several pieces of art over it, I did actually hang some of them higher than I would normally do in a normal height room, particularly if I had a straight ceiling, because I felt, and I angled them up in relation to the ceiling, because I also felt like if I hung them at what I would normally agree would be the standard, you know, 6 inches or 8 inches above the back of the sofa, I have a huge wall above that just seems, it would dwarf
yeah.
it. So in that case, I really did take into consideration the height.
Right, you have to take each case,
yeah.
you know, separately, of course.
But it was
what you're saying is what Joni was saying. It's just that she was talking about doing it in relation to the sofa, where when you have an architectural feature like a vaulted ceiling, you also need to take that into consideration.
It's taking
into consideration the overall scene that's going on in front of you.
Yeah.
And around you.
But I think the main point to remember is when you're hanging art, to think of it, everything around it together is part of the visual experience.
Yes.
It's a whole.
Yes.
If you have art that's too high, it just starts pulling off into space. You have to anchor it, you know. And to anchor it, it has to be close enough so visually you see it as a one piece.
And one thing is I always advise clients as well is when you're hanging art is, what is the subject matter of the art, and can you actually see the subject matter where you're thinking of hanging it? So if you've got a bunch of things that are small, can you see them standing facing in the sofa? You know, yeah. Or the normal respectable distance that one stands. Obviously, you're not looking at the art while sitting on the sofa. It's facing it, so is the subject matter too small? So it's also in relation, you know, if you've got something that's relatively tiny, put that in a hallway or someplace where you can walk right up to it and look at it. Because I hate that if I can't see it's just a bunch of frames on a wall and I don't know what they are.
What about people buying their art to match their... their furniture, which I'm highly against.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people try to buy their art, the coloring in their art, to have something to do with the furnishing. I personally don't believe in that at all. That, to me, gets to that hotel art liquidation place.
Yeah.
You start doing that.
Well, yeah, Megan, I mean, I agree with you in theory, but recently I was called to a house and they wanted to reupholster all their furniture, and the room was rather bland, and they had this huge contemporary artwork that was in primary colors. Okay, it was the focal point of the room, so it was red, yellows, and blues, and white, very vivid. So I was drawn to it and thought, you know, we should bring in these colors, you know, into the room.
Was it good art? I mean, sometimes it's just really bad art. Like, I had a house where
this was a huge piece that they had invested a lot of money in, and would I buy it? Did it appeal to me? No, but, I mean, I'd rather have a mirror than art, so that's just me.
It's so personal. Well, I agree, Joni, that I think it goes one way but not the other. I think that you don't decorate a room and then go out and find art that, you know, is all the same colors and fits the room. However, I think you can decorate a room around a piece of art. I think a piece of art can be your inspiration for the whole room. You know, if you have a piece that is just touches your soul and you want to showcase it, I think it's legitimate to showcase it in a manner that you have decorated around. And for different people, I think it means different things. Some people will turn it into more of a white gallery space, and other people will take the colors from
the piece of art. I know what Megan is saying, and I know that's what a lot of people do say. I'm just a little different. I do like when the art is some way related to the furnishings, color-wise or thematically. I don't know. I just do. And
well,
I know
see,
that's
you know
like,
what?
Unchic to say and everything.
It's not unchic, and it's me being a huge snob. I swear to you, I am snobby about this point, because I feel that that's when you don't really get art, that you're just buying art to have it be an accessory. And I've been in some beautiful grand homes that have been decorated by some of the most published decorators, and you guys would be appalled, because here they have a Wyeth sitting next to a Rothko, sitting next to a Motherwell, sitting next to a Reuben, and you know what? None of it is congruent, but it's beautiful because it is the art itself that's beautiful. And
right.
That's where I, you know, I know a lot of people out there will roll their eyes, but I'm a snob in that area. I am, because I don't want my art to be, I'm not, you know, I mean, if I can afford it, I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of art just because it matches my bedroom.
Now, going back to the hanging, one of my bugaboos, there are people, I love mirrors, but people who, you know, it's like, okay, I have a mantle, I have to put a mirror. And the one thing I always say to them, yeah, but what's the mirror reflecting?
If
you know, I hate
yeah.
when people put a mirror on a mantle that's too high, and all you see in the mirror is the ceiling. And
yeah.
unless you have yeah. a spectacular ceiling, and you know, but what is that mirror reflecting? If it's not reflecting anything interesting, then don't put a mirror there.
Well, you can hang a mirror so that it's on a chain, so that it actually tilts down.
Yes, yeah.
And flat against the wall, you know, so it tilts down. Then you do get a reflection. But, oh, wait, oh, God, you have to reflect something pretty, you know.
Right.
Oh.
Is it looking out a window, which can be pretty? Or if you have a window that faces full-on sunset, is it going to drive, or sunrise, you know, is it going to drive you crazy that suddenly you get too bright a reflection in the mirror for an entire every afternoon that it's sunny? And
yeah.
you know, so I do think that all those things have to be taken into account. Don't just say mantle mirror.
Yeah.
You know, because unless it's like, you know, of course, a beautiful antique silvered mirror that you can't barely see yourself in, then that's a work of art unto itself, and that's different because that's not about reflection.
No, because you can't reflect anything, and most husbands are like, I can't see myself in this.
Right.
What good is it?
I know.
Oh, wait, let's talk about gallery walls.
The gallery walls that have been so popular in the last year or so, where people are, you know, just framing whatever you have and putting a whole sort of just a grouping of different sort of art or photographs or that sort of thing. You see that so often now, but I'm sort of getting tired of it. I'm looking at a wall in my office right now that I've done that with. I'm starting to get tired of it because I guess there's been such an overexposure of it. But, well, you know, for the longest time, I feel like I sort of promoted them because I really liked the way they looked. And I think in a certain environment, I think it's a great look in sort of maybe apartments or that sort of thing. Because you can bring together things that aren't necessarily fine art, pieces of ephemera that you find interesting or beautiful, mixed in with photographs, mixed in with an old portrait or that sort of thing. And I think it's kind of fun. I am kind of getting tired of it because I do feel like I personally have seen so much of it, and it may just because of blogging that I see a lot of it. But on the other hand, I still like the look of the same sort of, you know, I've seen walls where they're just flea market portraits, painted portraits. I love that. I think it's great looking.
Yeah, I like those too. I don't know. I don't care for the gallery walls as much. I kind of think it's cluttery looking.
It is cluttery, but it can become, if you do it correctly, I think it can become visually very clean and graphic. And that has to do with sometimes if you're using the same kind of frame. If you're using, you know, everything's a black and white. I mean, that's such an old Martha Stewart trick. But I think in some cases...
That's a different, you know, when you have... Or you have a collection of old wood frames.
Yes.
Old frames. But I think it's so hard to do a gallery wall effectively or...
It
is harder than you think, yeah.
Yeah, and again, this is just disclaimer, you know, highly personal... You know, I don't have one in my house. I used to have them, and I've just tried to streamline. So if you're...
I'm just kind of tired of seeing it. That's what I feel like it's kind of...
Well, I think if you're going for a cleaner look, a less cluttered look, the gallery wall has no place in your house, you know?
Well, and the other thing is, though, one of the good things about a gallery wall, there are a lot, after saying, you know, my big snooty thing about art, it's all... Most people can't afford... really expensive good art, and so it's a good way if you are, you know, are in your 20s living in an apartment in San Francisco, it's a great way to have, you know, an interesting looking wall. I mean,
well,
it can be good for those people who really can't afford a big piece of art. And the other good thing is that I don't personally like to see personal family photographs throughout the house in frames. I don't even like them on my refrigerator. So if you have one wall in a designated area that has all your favorite black and whites or color, even color photos of the family, I think that that makes sense.
Well, getting back to the gallery wall, I think I'm such a symmetrical person. I like everything, you know, symmetrically placed on a wall. So I do like groupings where there's a mirror in the middle or there's some focal point of art. Then you may have prints on the top and the side with a plate and a pedestal. So, yeah, I do like that look. But I think it's much, you know, more even, cleaner, symmetrical. I think that may be what I don't like about a gallery wall, where it's just long and kind of haphazard, and there is not much symmetry involved. So,
well, I think that's hard to do. I think it's hard to have, I mean, we've all seen pictures like old English interiors where, which it used to be, I think, very common in the Victorian days, where they would just, and earlier, where they would just, you know, hang things on the wall and they went straight up to the ceiling, and it didn't even matter that you could see them. They were just, the whole wall was just covered, and that's, you know, that is a very messy look that works for some people and won't work for others. But I do like the gallery wall that's very clean and simple, that you know, maybe you have a collection of one particular painter's or artist or photographer, whatever the medium, and you have a collection that even in the most elegant and fancy and or a clean and streamlined environments, to have that, you can do it in a very streamlined manner that really suddenly, you know, focuses right on what you're showcasing. And I think that's very beautiful.
Yeah, getting back to what Megan said about personal family photos all over the house, I think 10 years ago there was a huge trend toward silver picture frames. And in those picture frames, everyone put their family photos. And it was, you know, the more frames you could have, the more photos. And I think it became a trend that, and that's where people started saying, no personal photos anywhere outside of the bedroom or the bath, you know, the master bathroom or down a hall or something. It was just a reaction to a trend that had gone wild. But, for instance, my sister, you know, her child just got married, and she has a very, you know, nice decorated house. And in her living room, she has a beautiful silver frame on a tabletop with a picture of, you know, them at their wedding. And I kind of like it. I don't object to it. I think what everyone is objecting to is the piano top filled with silver picture frames.
I see. I'm funny though. Like, and I'm probably really in the minority. I don't even want to see someone's wedding album sitting on their coffee table. And to me, that's what a picture of your. I don't like it. I know it's. I know someone's really going to be bothered by that. I just personally, I don't really want to see it if I walk into someone's house, and I don't know why they want to show it to me. That's so mean.
But it's their own house, Megan.
I don't feel that way.
Right.
I know it's your own personal space, but is it really that good of a photograph that needs to be framed and put out publicly? I mean, it may mean something special to you, and I think those are the ones that belong in your bedroom or in, you know,
elsewhere. They tend to become timeless. I mean, you put a picture in a frame, and 10 years later, it's still there. It's faded, and, you know, it has no meaning. So
that's what I mean.
So anyway, that's how I came up with the bowl. It was a way to get rid of clients that had 50 pictures in horrible picture frames around the room, and let's get it all in the bowl, and people will really look at your pictures, you know.
I used to have one of those, yeah. I agree, and there's something about that Pilot High and watch them fly from retail, you know. People love, if they see a bowl full of them, a really pretty bowl, they do tend to gravitate toward those if they want to.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, and we're now on iTunes. Search for Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate all of your comments and suggestions, and we'll be back soon.